Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are learning today Le'ili Nishmas Baruch Lerman, Bernice Hershkowitz, Brina Bas Hirsch Ber Tzvidov. We're also learning Le'ili Nishmas Jake Mazursky, Yaakov Hirsch Ben Moshe, Sandra Bettinger, Sarah Rachel Bas Meir. I'm also learning Le'ili Nishmas, my sister-in-law's father, and also Tzvi Zadara's father, Moshe Zadara, Rav Moshe ben Binyamin, who was a wonderful person, I understand. I never had the schus to meet him. And Be'ezus Hashem, the learning that we're doing should be a schus for all of the holy neshamas that we're learning for, as we continue to learn as well, for the safety and the security of all the forces of Tzahal. They should be successful. We learned that the Chatufim should be brought back immediately in good health. And Be'ezus Hashem, there should be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara a little bit before the two dots on Kuf Yud Gimel of an Aleph, about 6-7 lines down with the words Omar Rava. Rava tells us the following thing. We're going to have a lot of dinim today from Rava. Here's one of the first ones, and we'll have a whole series later on in the year, at the end of the year, where Rava rapid fire shoots off many dinim. So here we have a din of Rava, Omar Rava. Hayman d'chsiv alei pesicha. If a person has an outstanding document against him of excommunication, we learned yesterday, pesicha is a shtar shamta, this is a document that Beis Din writes against the person. They put him into Shamta, into a certain type of excommunication, because he didn't pay off his debts as he was supposed to. So this person who has this shtar against him, this psicha against him, because he didn't come to the Beis Din and he didn't respond, so he is not allowed to have that ripped up ad the osiladin until he comes to the Beis Din. You don't rip it up. Loma karina lei. When he comes, so then now you can rip it up and say he's no longer in Shamta. Al delot zayis ladina. If this document was written, this psicha was written because he didn't pay up, so then, until he pays up, you don't rip it up. Adit zayis lo mekarina le. Then you're not allowed to go and rip this up until he comes to pay up the debt that he owes. However, the Gemara says this statement of Rav is incorrect. Velohi. Gemara says, Kivan de Omar Tzaisina. Since he says, as soon as he says, I will pay up now, so then, Karina Le, we have the right to go and rip it up. Because the reasoning is that if we don't go rip it up, he's going to have trouble going to collect the money to go pay up. And therefore, we're allowed to go and rip it up now as soon as he says he will pay up. No, if the guy turns out to be a liar, so then they'll write him another shtar pesicha. But here, we are allowed to go rip it up as soon as he says he will pay in order to facilitate his going to pay. Rashi says, in Dira Masku Velohi, because he says, Li'alta, you're allowed to go rip it up right away because the Dilma Les Lezuzi, he doesn't have the funds. And the Tarach, and he's going to try to go and get the funds, so we don't want him to be hampered in doing so. However, if he says, I'm not coming to the Beis Din, so then we only rip it up when he actually arrives at the Beis Din. I will boss Ladina, Kokama Deloasi, Afkarusahu. This guy's making a hefkevelt of what the Beis Din is doing. And therefore, until he actually shows up, we don't go rip that Shamta up. We don't rip that Pesicha up. Mark continues with a statement from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda, Kovim Zman Sheni, we go and tell the person, as we had discussed it yesterday, come and arrive to the Beis Din on Monday. The Beis Din used to sit Mondays and Thursdays, so we first tell him to come on Monday. No, if he wasn't able to make it on Monday, so then we do it on Thursday. If he's not able to make it on Thursday, then we do it the following Monday. We give him three opportunities, so to say, to show up in court. So Kovim Zman Sheni, the Chamishi Visheni. No, Zimna, the Zimna, Basar Zimna. So we make the first appointment, then we make the second appointment, then we make the third appointment. And if he doesn't come then, Ulamachar Kazvina. We give him a chance. Maybe knew the extenuating circumstances. He wanted to come Monday. He wanted to come Thursday. But now, if he doesn't come the following Monday, so then it's already a pattern. So therefore, then we'll write the Shtar Pesicha. We'll write this document putting him into Cherim, into Shamta. Ravasi Ikla Bey Rav Kahana. One time Ravasi came to visit Rav Kahana, and he saw Chazah that there was a certain woman, the Asmina Ladina Bifanya, who had been invited to come to the Beis Din. She'd been subpoenaed to come to the Beis Din. Bifanya means at the end of the day, meaning that, let's say, she was invited to come on Sunday, and Ubitzakra, and in the morning when she didn't show up, Kosev Alo Psicha, they right away put her into Shamta. They didn't wait till the following Thursday and the following Monday. So Ravasi was surprised at this, right? He said, Omale, he said to Rav Kahana, most of all, Amar, doesn't the master hold? Don't you have kind of hold that which we taught from Rav Chisda, the Kovim Zman Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni? Lord Amar Rav Chisda, Kovim Zman Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni? Don't you agree to that? So I'm a late. So we kind of said, yes, I do. However, this case was different. Hani Mili Gavra De Onis. This person over here has to sometimes be out of town. He's a Gavra De Onis. He's forced sometimes to not be able to come to the Beis Din. So therefore, such a person who is forced sometimes to be out of town, the Lesi B'masa, and he won't be able to be here the following Thursday or the following Monday. So therefore, we didn't have a choice. Since this woman didn't show up, and she knew the consequences of not showing up, so therefore we put her into Shamta right away. However, Aval Itza, given the Isi B'masa, will ask her, but this woman who knew about this, and she didn't show up, she's essentially a Moredesi. She's essentially rebelling against the court, because she knew that this was a time factor in this case. Now, the Mefarshim point out, this is true for a man or a woman. It happens to be the case that occurred there, but the same exact thing would apply if the woman was going to be out of town. She was a Itza, the Onis, and the man was Moredes, or Morade in this situation. So therefore, the din is not dependent upon it being a man or a woman. The din is dependent upon the circumstances. So normally we'll be koveya Monday, Thursday, Monday, but if they're extenuating circumstances so they can put the shamta right away, if they know that should have shown up and they didn't. Again, they had no reason for not showing up. If they, of course, had their own extenuating circumstances, so then the din would be different. Gemara says, our Rav Yehuda tells us, lo yavina zimna, we don't go and subpoena somebody to court, lo biyomi nisan, we don't during the month of Nisan. People are very, very busy during the month of Nisan preparing for Pesach. And below Biyomi Tishrei, and likewise not during the month of Tishrei, because people are very, very busy with the harvest at that point in time. And likewise, lo b'mali Yom Tova, and not on an Erev Yontif, because they're very, very busy preparing for the Yontif. And not even below b'mali Shabbos, because Erev Shabbos is the busiest time of the week, of course. And therefore, we don't go and summon people. We don't go and do a hasmona to show up at Beis Din during those periods of time. However, to go and subpoena somebody in Nisan for after Nisan or in Tishrei for after Tishrei, that's allowed. Avo mi Nisan, lebosa yo mi Nisan. To go and invite someone to show up in court, to subpoena them to show up in court during the month of Tishrei for after Tishrei, or biyomi Tishrei during the month of Tishrei, lebosa Tishrei, after Tishrei, that you can do. Kavina, no problem to do so. But Mimali Shabbos, Labasa Mali Shabbos, Lo Kavina. But we never do it on an Erev Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos or for the following Monday. Why not? My time, why is that different? Because there, Ba'avidite, the Shabbos are treat because they're so busy working for Shabbos, they're going to forget about it. Mistama, if you invite them during Nisan for after Nisan, at some point in time, they'll remember. You invite them during Tishrei for after Tishrei, at some point in time, they'll remember. But if you invite somebody Erev Shabbos, they're so torried in Shabbos, and all of a sudden Monday shows up and they forgot. And therefore, you can't hold them accountable. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Lo yavin and zimna, lo livne kala bikala, v'lo le rigla birigla." We don't go and give a hasmana. We don't give a zimun, a subpoena to come to court. Not to people during the bnei kala. What's the bnei kala? Rashi says, "The boy l'shmo hadrasha b'kol Shabbos." This is people coming to hear the drasha. So we don't say, well, we know all the people are going to be over there. So let's go and give summonses out, subpoenas out at that point in time, because we know the kid will be there. And likewise, and not during the regel for the regel. Rashi says, during the regel, boy l'shmo halacha is a regel, kodem regel, lam yom. We know the famous halacha, shloshim yom kodem l'chag. You have to start learning the halachas of Pesach, and this applies not only by Pesach, so this applies as well, according to many, for the other regalim as well. So therefore, people are gathering together to hear the Rav's shiurim, so we don't go and give subpoenas out to those times and those people that come to that. Why not? Because, as the Gemara tells us, Kihabu also coming to Rav Nachman, when the people would come to say, hey, let's use this opportunity to go and give a zimun to all the people to come to Shurim for either the Kala or for the Rigla, for those times when they were very well popular Shurim. So they went to Rav Nachman and said, let us use this as an opportunity to go and give subpoenas. So he told them, what do you think the Shurim are for? For you to give subpoenas to? V'chilu didchu kinufaychu? Because you guys want to give out subpoenas. L'tzorach dinchem hikaltiyeschem? Is that why you gather the people? I gather people to hear shiurim. And if they know that they're going to get subpoenas here, they're not going to come to the shiurim. So again, you have to be focused. The purpose of this time was for shiurim, not to go give out subpoenas, and therefore we don't give subpoenas out to this time. However, the Gemara then subsequently notes and says, well, in the nowadays, the Iker Amoy, there were people who say, oh, I'm going to the Shia, you can't give me a subpoena. I'm going to the Shia, you can't give me a subpoena. They weren't going to the Shia, but they would use it as an excuse, and therefore, Chayshinan, that they're just doing this to avoid getting the subpoena. So now we do give the subpoenas at those public gatherings. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, Imhoya Dovi Sheish Bo Achrai Yitzchai L'Shalim. We said in the Mishnah that if the person left over an inheritance that included real properties that have a chrayis on them, so then you can go pay off some of the things that we have been talking about. The Gemara says, Mas Rebbe L'Reb Shimon Bray. We had this previously, and this was the source of that Gemara that we had discussed previously. It's over here. So Rebbe taught his great son, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, and he said to him, that which you said in the Mishnah, that it has to be something that is achrayis, it doesn't literally only mean that it was karko or a bias, that is the status of achrayis on it. Lo dover sheshu achrayis mamish, it doesn't literally mean real estate, but ela afilu para, even if it was a para that was well known to be the para of their father, the harish, but now the children are inheriting this and they're plowing with that cow, and everybody's going to say, hey, that's their father's cow that they inherited. Or it was a chamor, a donkey, umachamarachwab, and they're going and using it to, ship stuff and carry packages for them. And they're walking behind it. They're mechamer achrav. So then, in that situation, everybody's going to say, hey, that's their father's donkey. That's their father's cow. And chayov l'hasir, in this situation, we make them use that cow or that donkey to pay off their father's debt of the geneva, mipnei kvod avihen. Because of the covenant of their father, people are going to say, here, that God, their father was a ganav. And here's his property, and his children are using it. They're also ganavim. And it's the father taught them to be ganavim. Gemara says, boy, mini Rav Kana, mi Rav. Rav Kana asked Rav, well, you taught us this din, you taught your son, and you taught us this din, that for a paro or a chamar that belonged to the father, they should give it back because of kavod avihen. So then, what about mita? It's a bed from their father, and now the children are sleeping on it. Lav dafka means a bed. It means something that would be recognizable as their father's, their couch, their father's reclining chair. So it would be something that when people would come into the house, it's not visible outside, but when people would come to the house, they say, yeah, that was your father's. Or shulchan, that's the dining room table. For ochalah, people say, hey, that was your father's dining room table. So here, Rav Kahan is asking Rav, does this din that you told your son, that for the parah or the chamar, because of kavod avihen, the children should return it for the geneva that their father had stolen? What about this mito or shulchan? Does the same din apply there? So Rav told him, Amar lo, tein l'chocham v'yach kavod. He quoted in the famous pasuk we have for Mishlei, if you give a smart person wisdom, so he's going to become even smarter. So basically, what this is to be understood is, Rashi says, kipara v'chamor, Kain mita v'shulchan. Rashi says that yes, the same din applies. I taught you this din, and it applied to a chamar and a para for the reason of kavod avihen. So to here, this is also kavod avihen. And therefore, once you learn the first din, you can figure out and learn the second din as well. That in fact, the mita or the shulchan should also be returned because of kavod avihen. Next mishnah: Ein partin lo mitevas hamochsin. You're not allowed to go and take change. Partin means to go in lahachliv sloim, Rashi says, beprutos. You want to take change from this tevas hamochsin. This is the box where they collected the taxes. So you want to go there. Hey, that's like a tztaka collector's box. You want to get change of your $5. So you go to the tztaka box, the pushka, and you take out $1 bills, and you put in your $5 bill there. Or you give a little extra to tztaka, and you take back $4, whatever it is. But you're now allowed to go and use that for change. Ein partum lo mitevas hamochsin. Why not? So Rashi's going to tell us in a second, because shehein shel gezel, because the money that's in this tax collector's box is in fact gneva. It was stolen, more or less. Why is it gneva? You have a right to collect taxes, so why is this gneva? More or less, because it wasn't a legitimate tax collector's box. So you're not allowed to go and use that because you're basically benefiting from something that was stolen. Likewise, lo mikish shel gabayim. You can't go and take it from a different type, the mochsin, or certain types of tax collectors, the kish shel gabayim, or other types of tax collectors. These are various types of taxes that they're a head tax or other type property taxes. So these are various taxes that were collected, as we'll see in the Gemara, incorrectly. And therefore, you're not allowed to go and exchange the money from them for using it as change for money that you're putting in there. And likewise, they note the tztaka, and you're not allowed to take tztaka from them. They want to give from this pushka for tztaka. You're not allowed to take it from them because it's stolen property. It's stolen money, and we don't want that. You're not going to benefit from taking stolen property and using it for tzedakah. However, you would be allowed to take from their own personal funds. I will know to whom you took beso. If the tax collector, the gabbai over here, or the mochas, is wanting to give you from his own pocket, from his own house, or Ominashok, or you go and take it from him on the street, not from the tax collector's box, then you're allowed to take it from him, because as Rashi points out, that mistama is in Yesh Lomos Bishuk, She'ein Lokeach Mitevas HaMechas. That's his own private funds. Nimol Shalom, Rashi says. And therefore, you're allowed to go and take that. Now, Tano, we learned in the following Brayso, Abel Nosin Lo Dinor V'Nosin Lo Es HaShor. However, let's say you owe the tax collector legitimately a half a dollar. But you don't have a half a dollar. So you give him a full dollar, and then you get change of a half a dollar, so then that's allowed. As Rashi explains, why is this allowed? It's still taking from Kneba, because otherwise you'd never get back the extra half dollar that you're owed. So therefore, to save yourself the loss, you're allowed to go and take it. But if you don't have to, you don't have the right to go and give him a dollar and get back four quarters. That you don't have the right to do because this is stolen money and you shouldn't be dealing with it at all. Okay. Morris says, wait a second, why are these tax collectors not legitimate people? Why are you saying that this is Geneva? Umosin, Varma Shmuel, Dina de Machusa, Dina, one of the most famous statements of all the Shas, Shmuel says that you have to follow the government rules. And the government taxes you. The IRS taxes you. You have to pay those taxes. It's Geneva if you don't pay the taxes. So why are you saying the IRS coffers are like Geneva? Very, very important question, very, very important din. So let me just give a little background over here. So the halacha is that, yes, as long as the government is making laws that are fair and applicable to everybody, they can't make a law and it says non-Jews, they're taxed at 5%. The Jews are taxed at 50%. That's not legitimate taxation. But if everybody's taxed at the same rate for the same income, so then that is a law that the government has the right to do. Basically, the government owns the land that government is in, and the government has the right to make rules, and as long as those rules are fair and not detrimental just to the Jewish people, but they're fair to all the citizens of that nation, so then we do have this rule, Dina de Malchus Dina. The government has the right to proclaim laws, and therefore, if this is a set amount, so it's absolutely real, and as Rashi says, that's not a din of Goslin. The government has a right to do this. And the Rashbam in Bava Basra tells us that kol ha-masim v'yarnunios u'minhagos shel mishpatei melachim, all of the various tax laws and property tax laws and all of the judgments that the secular governments do that are normal for them, shiragilim lahanig b'malchusam, that they normally do in their malchus, dina hu shekol b'nei ha-malchus mekadlim aleyev, merit sonam. You're a citizen of that country, you're living in that country, you have to follow the rules of that country. And the Hilkach Din Gomeru, in our Torah, we say that they have 100% legitimacy and can collect those. The Ein Lemachzik Bimomun Chaveru Al Picho Kamelech Hanog Beir Mishum Gezel, and that there is no Geneva when the IRS comes and takes the money from you if you don't pay it to them. That is legitimate. So Shmuel asks, why are you and our Mishnah saying over here that they're Geneva, these tax collectors? And we'll give a teretz, which we'll give in two other cases as well. The Gemara is going to give three examples of this. Here's the first one. So the Gemara says, Amar Chinina Bar Kahana Amar Shmuel, was said over by Rechini Rechinani in the name of Shmuel. You know why? Even though you hold Dina the Malchus Dina in our Mishnah, it is considered Geneva when the tax collector took it because he took more than he was allowed to. So we don't have this today in the United States, for example. In most places, they don't have this. But the government would sell the tax collection rights to somebody. The government didn't want to have to get involved in collecting it. So they said, we're supposed to get $100,000 from this city. Okay? So we'll sell the rights, collect $100,000 to somebody. And they sell it to somebody. And the government says, okay, you give us $80,000 and we'll consider it collected. And you go collect $100,000 and you'll make $20,000 by collecting all the taxes. But it's your hassle. So that was the way they used to do it. Now, the tax collector who paid $80,000 to the government is allowed to go and collect $100,000. That's how he makes his profit. But he went and collected $150,000. He went and collected $200,000. So therefore, that is in excess of what he was allowed. So he's a ganav. And that's what our mission is talking about. That's teretz number one from Ruchinina Bar Kahana in the name of Shmuel. Second teretz is the day Rav Yana. In the basement of Rav Yana, they said, Amrei b'molcheis ha'omei b'elam. This guy wasn't appointed by the government. He set up shop. He's a strong, arm, tough guy. And he said, all the taxes now come to me. And he's collecting taxes on his own without government authority. Yeah, so that tax collector is a ganav. So these are the two terutzim that we have over here. We're going to give them again, and then we're going to give them one more time again. And these are the scenarios. These two terutzim that we just gave, so some had learned it on the straight-out statement of Shmuel that said, Dina Machusa Dina. How is that consistent with our Mishnah? But others learned it on the following, a different Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Kilayim, famous Mishnah in Kilayim. It says, Lo yilbash adam kilayim. Person is not permitted to go and wear kilayim, even though he's doing so, not for the benefit of kilayim, but to break out of having to pay taxes on the clothing. So, for example, when you come into a country and you bring in a certain amount of goods, you have to pay taxes on it. But they don't charge you. Let's say you're wearing a brand new suit, which if you declare it and bring it in, you would have to go pay taxes on it. But if you're wearing it, they don't make you pay taxes on it. So this guy's a sharp guy. He says, listen, I want to bring in all these suits, but I don't want to have to pay taxes on them. I'm going to wear them all. He puts on 10 garments. Afilu agabi asar begodim, lavriach boas aneches. So the Mishnah tells us you're not allowed to go and wear kilayim garments, even on top of many other garments, in order to exempt yourself from having to pay the taxes. That's what the Mishnah tells us. Now, Masnisin delok Rabbi Akiva. This Mishnah doesn't seem to be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because what did Rabbi Akiva say? The Tanya also lavriach zemeches. The Brisa tells us the opinion of the Tanakama says you're not allowed to do this, like our Mishnah said. And along comes Rabbi Shimon, Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, says the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, mutu lavriach zemeches. You're allowed to go and do this. So clearly, Rabbi Akiva seems to be against this Mishnah. Now, Bishlomo, what are they arguing about the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon in the name of Rabbi Akiva? Bishlomo li'inyan kilayim, b'hokabili, in regards to kilayim, they're having the argument. Because the Marasavar, Rabbi Akiva holds, that ein miskavein mutter, davar shein miskavein is mutter. You didn't intend to wear kilayim. You wore it in order to exempt yourself from the taxes. So therefore, you're not benefiting from wearing kilayim, albeit you are wearing the kilayim, but you're not getting the warmth of the kilayim. You're not getting the physical benefit. You're doing this as a stratagem to go and not have to pay taxes. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says it's mutter. Whereas the Tanakama of Rabbi Akiva, Umar Savar, Dover Shein Miskavin is also. There's a famous machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. We have throughout Shas as well, whether a Dover that is Einu Miskavin, if you're chayiv or not, or allowed. So the Tanakama holds that Dover Shein Miskavin is also, and Rabbi Akiva holds that Dover Shein Miskavin is mutter. So the bottom line is, that's what the machlok is about. But el lavriach boas ameches mishari. But who says you're allowed to go and evade the tax collection? V'amar Shmuel. Shmuel said dina machusidina. Oh, so here's where the question was raised, not in contrast to our Mishnah, but in contrast to this Mishnah in Kilayim. So again, we did the same two tirutzim we gave before. Amir Chinin Bakana, Amir Shmuel, Chinin Bakana said name of Shmuel, because B'mochi Shein Lo Kitzur. This was the guy that had the concession for $100,000, and he was doing it for $150,000. So therefore, you don't have to go and listen to him. It's considered Geneva. So this is how you reconcile this Dina de Machusudina with what happened in our Mishnah. And the Virgani Amri, they said, B'mochis Omei Be'elav. This is a guy that wasn't appointed by the government. He set up his own tax collection shop, and that's why he's a Ghana. Now we have the third way to learn this. Vika the Masli Ha. There are those that learn these two statements from Chanina Bar Kana, Amr Shmuel, and Dvei Rav Yanai on the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we have in the Dorim. And the Mishnah in Dorim tells us that people are coming to you and they're trying to take away your money or your property. So they come to you and say, hey, those 10 loaves of bread that you have, we want them. So you're allowed to go and say a shua. Tosus explains in the Gemara in the Dorim, it tells us the shua is that you go and say that I ask of myself all the Paris of the world, the Yasru, call Paris Shavolam Alai, in Einan Shal Truma, if these loaves are in Truma. Now these Ganavim, for whatever the reason, aren't concerned about Geneva, but Truma they would never eat. So you're allowed to make a neder, such as I just said, as Tosus brought down, Loharogim, people come to murder you. They say, listen, we're going to kill you unless you give us these 10 loaves of bread. So you're allowed to make a neder that's really not true. You say, all the fruits of the world should be awesome to me if these breads are in Truma. Or l'charamin, or to people that are going to rob you, or l'bosin, or tax collectors. And you're allowed to make this neder, shito truma, or shisha beis melech, or that this isn't my stuff. Hey, you want to take it, go take it, but it belongs to the king. Take your chances. So they're allowed to make this neder that's not true. Afal b'she'enu shel truma, afal b'she'enu shel melech. Even though it really doesn't have the status of truma, and even though it doesn't belong to the king, you're allowed to make this neder to evade these murderers or robbers or tax collectors. And the Gemara asks the question, Ula Mosin, how are you allowed to not go and pay the tax collectors? Well, I'm a Shmuel, Dina de Mosin, Dina, the famous statement Shmuel made. Why aren't the tax collectors legitimate? So we get the same two terutzim again. Amar Chanina Bar Kahana, Amar Shmuel, Mamochi Shein Lo Kitzur. This is the guy that was only allowed a concession of 100,000, and instead he was collecting 200,000. Or the Rav Yane, the Beis Meshur Rav Yane, Amar Mamochi Shein Lo Kitzur. This is a guy that on his own put up a tax collection sign, but he wasn't legitimate. He wasn't authorized by the government. Those are the same two terutzim. But here we also give a third terutz. Rav Ashimar, another way to say why are you allowed to make this false neder the tax collector is because we're dealing with b'moches kinani. And this moches kinani is essentially collecting more than he's allowed to collect as well. They were well known, these moches kinanis, to go and collect more than they were allowed to. So again, this is very, very similar to the first two terutzim that we gave, that he's collecting without permission. Either he's collecting totally without permission, or he's collecting more than he's allowed to collect without permission. So this explains why the din of Dina, the Machusudina, doesn't apply to these types of tax collectors. And where do we see this from? The Tanya. Because we learned in the following Braisa, where it says, Yisrael u'kenani anos. If a Jew, and this Kenani Anos, which, again, is a tough guy. This is a person who's going and doing things that he's really not allowed to go and do, and nobody's stopping him. And they come to have a case adjudicated between them, Shabbat Ludin, and they're coming to our base. If you're able to go and show under Jewish law, under halacha, that the yid won against this Kenani Anos, then you should do so. The MLO kach dinenu. And you tell them, listen, you lose the case based upon our laws. But if you can't go and adjudicate based upon our laws that he should win, then bidine kinanim, if you can go and say, well, according to the secular courts, you lose, so then zakeyu v'melo kach dinchem. Then you're allowed to go and adjudicate the case with their laws and not our laws. Because this guy is essentially a robber. This Kenani Anos is illegitimate. And you know for a fact that he is not coming with a legitimate claim against the Yisrael. So you're allowed to go and essentially show the din is by the Jewish courts would paskin this way, so then you paskin for the Yisrael. And even if you can't show by the Jewish courts, but you'd paskin this way by the Goyish courts, so you're allowed to say, this is how the Goyish courts paskin, and therefore we're paskin against you. Because this guy is a cheater. This Kenani Anos is a cheater. That's why you're allowed to go and make sure that the din comes out in favor of his litigant, the people litigating against him, the Yisrael. Now, what happens if you can't be alive? You can't go and prove that this guy is a robber, either by our laws or by their laws. So then, boyin alav ba'kifin, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shmuel says, guess what? Do some sort of trickery, do some sorts of shenanigans over here. Akifin, go and figure out a way that he should lose the case because this guy we know is really a ganav. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And along comes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva Omer, you're not allowed to do that. Ain boyin alav ba'kifin, mipnei kiddush Hashem. You're not allowed to go and do shenanigans over here because it's going to lead to a chilul Hashem. We don't want to say chilul Hashem, so we say because of kiddush Hashem. You want to be erlich and honest in the eyes of everyone. And therefore, if you do shenanigans over here, it's going to make us look bad. And therefore, even though this guy's a robber, even though he's a ganav, even though he's a terrible person, you can't go and fix things in an incorrect way. If you can't show it through the din, then you have to let this Kenani Anos win the day, so there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem Rachmona Litzlan. A Chilul Hashem is a terrible thing. Now, what do we see from Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, time of the Ika Kiddush Hashem. The only reason you're not allowed to go and do this is because it would lead to a Chilul Hashem. You won't be making a Kiddush Hashem. Implication being, if there is no concern about a Chilul Hashem, Holeko Kiddush Hashem, if there won't be any desanctification of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, or there won't be a Kiddush Hashem, there won't be a public sanctification of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, so then, guess what? Boyim Bakifin, you'd be allowed to go and do all sorts of shenanigans over here in order to make the Kenani Anos lose the case. But that implies v'gezel kinani mishari. If you can't halachically win the case, just because you know that he's wrong, doesn't mean that you should be allowed to go and do this. Because you're stealing from him. If you don't have a legal reason to take it from him, you just know that he's a ganav, and this is a way for you to go and take the money from him. You're not allowed to do that. Because v'gezel kinani mishari, because you're not allowed to go steal from a guy. V'atanya, because we learned in the following braisa, this v'atanya is a proof to that. That Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, "Dar zeh darish Rabbi Akiva kishabam mizafirin." When Rabbi Akiva came from the city of Zafirim, he taught the following. He says, "Minayin legezel kinani shuasa." You're not allowed to steal from a guy. Talmud Lomer, because the pasuk says, "Acharei nimkar geulat yelo." If a yid sells himself to a guy, you have to go and redeem him. You can't just take him from the guy. You have to go and redeem him. The relatives have a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to go and redeem him. But they can't just go and steal him from the guy because this guy legitimately sold himself to the guy, and therefore you have to not steal from the guy. It's also to steal from the guy. And I want to read to you the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is very, very strong about this and says, "V'chol ha'gonev afilu rak shav pruta." Even if you only sell a pruta from a guy, over alav delo tignovu, you're not allowed to do so. You're over an issa d'araisa. And he says, furthermore, you're not even allowed to go and trick him. And then he brings down a scary thing from the Sefer Hasidim, and he writes that many people make this terrible mistake. So he says, especially if a person says that there'll be a Chilul Hashem over here, So then, Kosva Gedolim, Shrobi Neim, the great Gedolim, brings down the name of the Sefer Hasidim, that saw with their own eyes, Sha'osom Ha'anoshim, Shervichu Mita'usam, that they were able to trick the guy. And lo hitzlichu, they didn't ultimately succeed, even though they may have looked like they won a monetary claim. Minichsem yardu litmon, they eventually lost their money. Lo inichu achareim bracha, and they didn't leave over any bracha for their children. V'rabim asher kitchu shem shemayim, but those people that did the right thing, v'chziru teusa, and they didn't trick the guy. And in fact, if there was an error, they gave back the money to the guy. These people, they did very, very well. And they ultimately gave over big Yerushas to their children. And therefore, he says it's very important that we be Elach, that we make a Kiddush Hashem in all of our dealings. New bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva here says that you're not allowed to go and steal from a guy. We turn to Kuf, you give him a base. Shalom Yim Shechen V'yetze. This pasuk that we just brought down says you're not allowed to go steal your relative from him, so you have to go and pay him. You might think you have to overpay him. Yocho Yiglom Olav. Rashi says, Yocho Yoniach Asaknani Lichfol Hosef Ulitvo Mashalom Nasan. Maybe you think that you have to be so kind and allowing him to do whatever he wants that he can overcharge you. No, that you don't have to do. Talmud Lomar. V'chishev Im Koneyu. You go and calculate how much the slave is worth, this person who sold himself, this Jewish person who sold himself to the guy, and you dakdik him Koneyu, and you pay the exact amount. You shouldn't pay more, but you're not allowed to go and take him without paying for him. So the bottom line is, we seem to have a steer in Rabbi Akiva here. Rabbi Akiva says, you're not allowed to go and cheat. But before we just had said that under certain situations, you would be allowed to go and cheat the meches. And here, we're dealing over here with Rabbi Akiva saying, you're not allowed to do it, even if he is a guy. So Amar of Yosef, Lokasha, Habi Kanani, Habi Ger Toshav. The two differences are where you're allowed to go and do this is with a Kanani, who is a guy. And here, where they are a Ger Toshav, so they're a guy, but they've accepted upon themselves the Zionists, the Noach, and they accepted upon themselves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there, you're not allowed to cheat them. So Rav Yosef wants to distinguish between an outright guy and a guy who's living as a Ger Toshav in Eretz Yisrael. But Abaye says that's not true. Only Abaye, these two, the Kanani and the Ger Toshav, are listed together. They're both listed together. And this is a very famous Gemara, which deals with a person who goes down the slippery slope. He does one Aveira, then he does another Aveira, then he does another Aveira, and before you know it, he's punished in this way. If he keeps on going, then it's punished further, as we now see in the Gemara. And we dash to the following pasuk. V'chi sasig yad ger v'soshav imach, umach ochicha imo, v'nimkar leger toshav imach, o le'eker mishpachas ger. So here the person has to ultimately sell himself to non-Jewish people. So it tells us in the pasuk, lo lecha, he won't sell himself to a Jewish person, ela leger. He'll sell himself to a ger. What type of ger? Shenemar leger. This means to a ger toshav. The lo leger tzedek, and not to a convert who is a yid. Ela leger toshav. Shenemar leger toshav, because it doesn't say just ger, it says leger toshav. And then it adds on, mishpachas ger. What is that coming to add? That he'll sell himself, not only will sell himself to a ger toshav, but then he may even come to have to sell himself to a mishpachas ger, which means zeha ove kochavim, a real idolater. And then when it says, kishu omer oli eker, zeha nimker liavodus kochavim, not only does he sell himself to a non-Jewish person, but he sells himself to hanimka avodas kochavim. He sells himself to actual avodas zara to go and service them. So therefore, that's because this person didn't do the right thing, then continued not doing the right thing, so ultimately have to sell himself to the actual avodas zara himself. Now, what do we see from here? That it can't be talking about the difference is you're allowed to go cheat a Kanani, but you're not allowed to cheat a Ger Toshav, because we see that all of the goyim are lumped together over here, and therefore the din is the same with all of them. And that means that you have to redeem it from even the Avodas Kochavim, and you can't go cheat them. So Elo Rabo, so what's the actual case over here? Why is there seemingly a stira in Rabbi Akiva? Says his Lokasha, Kam Bigzei Lo, Bekam Behafkoas Halva Oso. It depends what you're doing to the guy. If you're actually going and stealing directly from him actively, so that's Oser. However, if you're just not repaying him something that you owe him, so that could be mutter. Again, the Gemara says, that's not right either. Amalei Abaye, Eved Ivri, Hafkoz Halva Osu. Wait a second. when you're taking an Eved Ivri from a guy, so all you're doing is really canceling the money that he was paid. So this is Hafkaras Mamon, and yet you see that it's not allowed. You have to deal fairly with them. So not only can't you steal from them directly, but you can't even not pay them. So the Gemara says, Rava l'taimei, Rava goes according to his own Svara. The Amar Rava, Rava says, Eved Ivri Gufo Konri. He says, no, this is not Hafkaras Halvaso, this is an actual direct Geneva from him, and that's why Rava does make such a distinction. Bottom line, as I just read you from the Aruch HaShulchan, you're absolutely never allowed to go steal from anybody. Not a guy, not from a yid. And as we'll see, especially if you have the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, as the Gemara now itself will tell us, so then a tremendous opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. So even when you don't have the right to go and take stuff from him, but you might be able to look the other way under certain selected situations, which many suggest don't even apply today. They only apply to real Ovi Kochavim, and the going today aren't real Ovi Kochavim. It's just Minag HaVaseinim Yadayim. They're just following some of the things that their forefathers did, but they're not really Ovi and Avodah Zarah. So then, according to most of the poskim, you certainly can't do anything to them that's an outright gezeila, and even Hafkaras Halva also, but the opportunity to make Kiddush Hashem trumps everything, and you should do that. As we now see from the Gemara itself, Amar Rabbi Bar Gidol, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Rabbi Bar Gidol said, "Name Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Gezel Knani Aser Aveidaso Muteres." You're certainly not allowed to steal from a guy, but if you were to find his aveida, you're not mechuyev to return it. So where it says, "Gezel Aser," where do we see that the Gezel is Aser? You're not allowed to steal from a guy. The Amar Rabbi Huna says, "Minayli Gezel Knani Shuaser." How do you know you're Aser to steal from a guy? Shenema, because the pasuk says, "Viochaltu es kol amim asher Hashem lokecha no sein loch." So that means, Bizman Shem Misurim Yorcho, when they're given over to you in Mulchama, you're allowed to take it for them. However, Velo Bizman Shem Misurim Yorcho, but when it's outside of Mulchama, you're not conquering Eretz Yisrael. So you're not allowed to go and take the money even from a guy. Okay, so that's Gezela's Osir. That's certainly. Avidosu Muteres, but you are allowed to go and not return them something that they lost. Under what circumstances is that? The Amar Ruchama Bar Gurya Amar Rav. Ruchama Bar Gurya is the name of Rav. Minayin Lavodis Kanani Shi Muteris. If a guy loses something, how we know technically you might not have an obligation to return it to him, because the pasuk says that you have the chiv of Hashavas Aveda, Shinema Luchol Avedas Ochicho, Liochicho Atomasir, Yatomasil Kanani. That the Torah requires you to go and return Ochicho, your brother's lost item. But if somebody is a mummer, is a Jew, and he is not a believer, or he's a guy, so then he's not a chicha, so technically you wouldn't have to return it to him. Mora says, but maybe that's if it hasn't yet come into your hands, you don't have to go and return it to him. Then you don't have to return it to him. But if you picked it up and now you find out it was a guy, so you have to return it to them. So I'm Ravina. Ravina says, no. The pasuk says, umutsa sa. The pasuk tells us, "Asher tova mimenu umitzasa," and you found it. Lo suchal esalim. You're not allowed to go and make like you didn't see it. But asoy liyadei mashva. That implies even if it comes into your hands. Now again, this din doesn't apply if you can make a kiddush Hashem. So if, and my Rebbeim always used to tell me this, if you find an aveid and you return it to a guy, make sure you're wearing a yarmulke, take your tzitzis out, even if you don't wear your tzitzis out all the time, let him know, hi, my name is, you give me a Hebrew name, and I'm returning this because it's a mitzvah for an Orthodox Jew to go and return a lost item, so then you're making a Kiddush Hashem. And we see many stories, all of us have heard and seen and read about stories where a Jewish person found a large sum of money and returned it, and it's publicized all over the place, and Mikam Chol Yisrael, that makes a Kiddush Hashem. And I heard from my Rebbeim that when the goyim say, wow, look at the beautiful business ethics that the Jewish people have, and look how erlich they are in business, that's the day that Mashiach will come. It's Hashem. We will have to try to make sure that that day comes real soon. Now, the Gemara says exactly what I just told you, Tanya. Rapidichum Zinoah says, B'makum she'ishchilu Hashem, afilu avedoso osur. Even though on some level you might not have an obligation to go and return their aveda, nevertheless, if that's going to cause a chil Hashem, somebody sees you pick something up and you just put it in your pocket and you walk away. They say, yeah, look at the way the Jew acts. He doesn't go and try to return that wallet that he found and that item that he just picked up. He just pocketed it. So if it's going to cause a chil Hashem, Allah has kama v'kama. If you could make a big kiddush Hashem, so then you certainly should do so. That's Rapinchas Ben Yair. Mora tells us further, Amar Shmuel tells us, ta'uso muteres. If you're having a business dealing with a guy and he makes a mistake and it's his own mistake, and it's not going to lead to a chilul Hashem, so Shmuel says, technically, you're not mechuyev to go and point out the mistake, and you could keep those funds that you got albeit it was a mistake. And I stress again, this is when there's zero chance for Chilul Hashem, because if he's going to eventually find this out and says, hey, you saw this and why didn't you return it? You dirty Jew. You're a non-Erlich person. So then that's a horrible thing, and obviously that is awesome. But we get two mices where a toes was not returned, but we also see how the people involved in these cases did everything possible that there shouldn't be a Chilul Hashem that came out of it. Once Shmuel, Zovan Mikusi, he bought from a Kusi, Lakno de Dava. He bought a Lakno de Dava, is a golden type of a bowl. Rashi says, Mizrok Shozov. It was a golden bowl. But Becheska Shel Nechoshes, the person who sold it, this Kusi who sold it, thought it was a gold plated bowl. He thought it was Lakno de Dava, Bimar de Parzula. He thought, the Kusi who sold it to him, thought it was just a gold plated bowl. It really was a gold bowl, and he was selling for Arba Zuze. And what did Shmuel do? Shmuel bought it. Shmuel knew that it was a gold bowl. Va'ad lalei chad zuza. He added on an additional zuz. And therefore, this also made Shmuel seemingly make a mistake. V'ol toz acheres. She'ike zuz midoma v'hit eyu b'cheshbon shalokach gimel b'mokum dalin. So instead of giving him the three zuz that he was supposed to, he gave him four zuz. So this way, the person, the kusi, would think, oh, he wasn't medakdik. He wasn't careful. And he gave me four. I was only supposed to get three. And I didn't say anything. So if he subsequently finds out that it was a golden bowl, he will assume that Shmuel didn't know it and it won't lead to a Chilul Hashem. That's how the Mefarshim explained this. Similarly, Rav Kahana once bought Zovan Mikusi, bought from a kusi, Meya V'esrim Chaviyosa B'meya. He bought 120 barrels of wine from the kusi, but it really, he only paid for 100. The Avla Lei Chadzuz, and he also paid a little bit extra. And in this situation, Rav Kahana gave him more money, and he said to him, listen, I trust you 100%. I'm like, Chazi Daloch Kos Samichta. This is the first and preferred pshat in Rashi, that he says, I'm relying upon you. Here's the money. This is what I'm paying for. If you give me the right amount, I'm trusting you. If you give me the wrong amount, it's your own fault and not my fault. So therefore, both Shmuel and Rav Kahana went out of the way here to make sure that there wouldn't be a Chilul Hashem. Another case, Ravina once went and Zovan Dikla, who Vikusi Litzalocha, that Ravina went into a partnership with a Kusi to go and purchase a certain type of palm tree and cut it up for its wood. Amalei Lishame, so Ravina told the Shamas, listen, I made a deal with the Kusi that each of us would get a certain number of pieces of wood, but please go and make sure, Kedam, go ahead earlier, for Isim Ikaro, cut for me the wood from the bottom of the tree, which Rashi says is thicker, Mestama, it's a better thing, the Kusi Minyono Yoda, because I just made a deal with the Kusi that I would take, let's say, 10 pieces of wood, and he would take 10 pieces of wood, but the Kusi wasn't particular about taking this piece of wood versus that piece of wood, so I'm instructing you to go take the better pieces of wood because that was the deal that we had. Each of us would get 10 pieces of wood. Another ma'isa, Rav Ashi, one time Rav Ashi was going on the road and Chaza, he saw Shivsha de Gufna, he saw a branch of a vineyard, the Pardesa, that was in an orchard, Utolibe Kitufe de Inve, and there were some delicious looking grapes that were hanging from it. And he says to his assistant, Amalei Lashami, he said to his Shamas, Zul Chazi, go and check out and see if this cluster of grapes belongs to a Kusi, the Kusi Ninu. So then I say, then go and bring it to me. Now, as the Gemara will say in a moment, I will pay him for them. I'm not stealing them from the Kusi. Although the Kusi, when he heard this, thought he was stealing it from him. So he said, go and find out. If this branch, this vine, belongs to a Kusi, go and take it, and I will pay him for it. However, Edi Yisrael, if it belongs to a Jew, Im Yisrael Ninhu, lo isolate. Then don't go and bring it to me. Because his svara was that the Jewish person, when he sees it, this is Rav Ashi, would say, oh, I'm not letting you pay for it. It's a present from me to you. And Rav Ashi was soli matanos yechya. He didn't want to accept presents from people. So he said, I want those grapes, but I'm only willing to have them if I can pay for them. The Kusi is not going to give me kavod, and he'll let me pay for them. So go and purchase them if they're from a Kusi. But if they're from a Yid who will not let me purchase them, I don't want it as a gift. So therefore, don't go and bring them. That is what Rav Ashi said to his Shamas. But the Kusi who heard this, Shama Hau Kusi, I don't know if it's the owner of that yard, or a different Kusi heard this, Davi Yosef Vadesa, who was sitting there in that Pardes, and he heard Rav Ashi say, if it's a Kusi, bring it to me. If it's a Yid, don't bring it to me. It implied to this Kusi that he was saying, if it's a Kusi, go steal it. If it's a Yid, then don't steal it. So this Kusi was very upset, and he says to Rav Ashi, I'm like, the Kusi shari, and the Yid lo shari? You're allowed to steal from a Kusi, but you can't steal from a Yid? That's not fair, that's not nice. So I'm like, so Rav Ashi said to him, you misunderstood. The reasoning that I said was Kusi shakul dume. The Kusi will let me pay for it. He won't give me any covered. Yisrael lo shakul dume. The Yid's not going to take money from Rav Ashi. They're not going to take money from me. They're going to say, it's a gift from us to you, and I don't want to take a gift. So that's why I said, find out if it's a Kusi, so I can pay him for it, and he will take the money from it. Okay, now the Gemara goes back and says, Gufo, we learned the famous din, Amar Shmuel dinam chusu dina. So Rav is now going to tell us five or six dinim about this. Amar Rav tells us, Teda, you should know, the katle dikle, if the government goes and cuts down palm trees, the right of eminent domain, but they don't pay you for it. The gishare gishri, and then they build bridges with the wood that they cut down. The avridan alayu, you are allowed to go on that bridge and use that bridge, even though it's taken from what seems to be gezel. Because of Dina Demachusa Dina. Abai questions and says, why? How? Amalei Abai, Viduma, Mishum Diayushe Lahu, Minayu, Marayu? How did the owners ever give up their hope of getting back their trees? So how are you allowed to go and benefit from these bridges? Isn't it Geneva? So Rava tells him, no, Amalei, Ilo Dina Demachusa Dina Hechem Yashe. So Rava says back to Abai, there must have been Yeish over here, because otherwise, how are we allowed to use these bridges? So these people were Miyayish, and that's why we're allowed to use it. So where it says, Vaha lo ka'adde kidama ma'alka, but these people who cut down these trees didn't follow the government's instruction. So you can't give us Dina de Machusa Dina over here and say that's why the government has the right of eminent domain to cut down their trees, and these people, even if they weren't Miyayish, they're essentially being Miyayish because that's what the government allows. The government says it's okay to do so. But how can you say that? Because they didn't follow what the government said. What did the government say? Ma'alka Amar, the government said, Zilu vikitlu mikol bagi. The government said, go cut down palm trees. But don't cut down only from one person's palm trees. Cut down from everybody's palm trees, a little bit. So this way everybody's equally taken from, and not one person is suffering. But what did these shlichim of the king do? They went to one field, and they cut down all the palm trees in that one field. So that's not fair. So aren't they ganavim? How are we allowed to go and use their bridges? That's what Abai asked the Rava. Rava responds. He says, no. Shlucha demalka kemalka velo tarach. The shlichim of the king are like the king. If the king is going over to himself and cutting down the trees, he ain't going cutting down one tree from this field, one tree from that field, one tree from that field. He's going to cut down 10 trees from this field over here, make the bridge that he needs, and you guys sort it out afterwards. So yes, he has the right of eminent domain, and he can take one tree from everybody, but instead he took 10 trees from one guy, and basically this guy who had the 10 trees taken from him has to go to 9 other guys that were responsible and take one tree from each of them. So that's what the king would do. So therefore the shlichim of the king can do that. No, the other people didn't do it. The Inu Asid and Ashayu. If he didn't go and try to get the other 9 people to give him a tree each, so then that's his own problem. That's his own fault. The Boilu, the Inkut Mikule, Bagi, Umishkal Dimei. He should have gone to each of them and said, listen, the king did the remnant domain for me 10 trees. I was supposed to give one. You were supposed to give one. You were supposed to give one. So no, give me each of you the one that you're supposed to, and then we're all even. He didn't do that, so it's his own fault. Another din that Rava said, Omer Rava, man dimishtakach bibei dore, para minosa demalka. If people are all partners together and they all stored their stuff in a otsar from the field, and each of them, let's say, had 10 people there and their 10 shares, and the first 9 people took their shares, and 1/10 was supposed to be given to the government, and now there's only 1/10 left over there, and the king comes and takes that last 1/10, so he has the right to do so. And no, the guy that had all 10, his 10 taken away, can go to the other 9 guys and say, listen, each of you has to give me the portion that you were supposed to pay in taxes. The Gemara says, this is true of Hani Mila the Shutfa. That's when all they were Shutfa together. Awal Arisa, if the share that was left behind was not a landowner, it was the Aris, it was the sharecropper who doesn't own the land and didn't have to pay the taxes, and this was his money, so then Arisusi who they call Mafik. So then, the tax collector here, the person taking it on behalf of the king took it inappropriately, and that would be gezel in this situation, because the tax collector is only allowed to take it from the owners, and here he took it from somebody who was an artist who's not an owner and wasn't chayav to pay the taxes. Another din that Rava tells us, Yom Rava, Rava says furthermore, bar masa aber masa miyaveh. If a person is in the town and they come and take the taxes from that person on behalf of another person, that is allowed. Now they should have taken it, each person, on their own. So how did they come to this one guy and take the taxes from him? So Gemara says, that's true. V'hani mili, the burla ara, when there was a property tax, a real estate tax, v'chrago, or a head tax, the haishatza, that was supposed to be paid for that year. And this other person in town ran away, so therefore they're allowed to go to this person in town and take on the other person in town, and then when the other person in town comes back, so that he can go sue him in court to get back the taxes that he paid on the other guy's behalf. Because we don't expect the tax collectors and the kings to go and have the hassle. The people in the town have to work it out. But that's only for this year's taxes. You can't do it for back taxes. Abul Shatz is the cholif. The previous year, ho the pious Malka, cholif. Once the king didn't go collect those taxes, now he can't come to you and collect on behalf of you and your friend. He has to go to each of you, collect individually. He then can't go and say, listen, the town owed me the money. I'm taking it from you. You go work it out for the others. That he'd only do in the same tax year, but not for a previous tax year, not for back taxes. Another statement from Rava. The other Rava said, Hani did dayare dare. Rashi explains, dayare dare are an akum sheyesh lehem behemos. These are goyim that have a lot of animals, and they take their animals, and they fertilize fields for people for a fee. They say, listen, would you like me to fertilize a field? I'll bring my 25 animals over here, and they'll demarcate an area for them, and they'll use this field, and they'll defecate over there in this field, and they'll fertilize the field. No, you pay me $100. So these are dayare dare. These are goyim that go and take, for a fee. They bring their animals into a field and fertilize it. So if this field is b'socha tchum, if it's within the city limits, nothing to do with tchum Shabbos, it's just talking about it's physically within the city limits, and therefore the people who live in the city, their animals are also going in this area, and the guy could intentionally or mistakenly steal some of the Jewish animals, so then also likach mehen. Then you would not be allowed to go and ultimately buy an animal from this guy because it wasn't anymore his 25 animals. Now he has 28 animals. He has acquired three of the Jewish people's animals in there because they were grazing all together. And that's, of course, at my time, how come? Because of what I just said. Because Mustama, some of the Jewish-owned animals in the city got mixed up with his animals, and now he's not selling you his animals. He's selling you Ganvid animals. However, if the guy was grazing the animals, fertilizing your field, chutz l'tchum, outside the city limits, so then mutar likach mehem, because the people's animals from the city, they keep them tightly reined in. They don't let him leave the city. So therefore, he has his animals, and his mistama, his 25 animals, are the 25 animals that he's trying to sell to any one of them. And therefore, that is permitted to go and purchase animals from him. Ravina says, however, here, but if the people from the city say, hey, don't buy from him, he has my animals, then I feel also. Then, once there's already a question that these aren't his animals, you can't go buy for them. Another statement from Rava says, Machriz Rava, either it was Rava or some say it was Rafuna, made the following announcement. The Salkin Leilah, for those people that go up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, right, we have the concept of good Osik. The border, the wall goes up, or good achis, the border goes down, the wall goes down. Within a chasin and lasato, those people who go from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, so you have to tell them the following rule. Hi, Bar Yisrael, if there is a yid, the yod esadus l'kusi, that knows testimony for a kusi, below tovu minei, but he wasn't asked by the kusi to go and testify for the kusi, and he went on his own. And he went to testify against another Jew in the kusi courts, when he wasn't asked to do so, we put this guy in Shamta. We put him in excommunication, the Chayrim, because he caused the Jew to lose money. Because a single witness in our courts can only make a shvua. He can't force money to be paid. But by the Kusim, they didn't believe in that. And they said a single witness can take out money. So he basically caused another Jew the loss of money when he shouldn't have lost that money. And therefore, we put him in Shamta. Why? My time. Well, because the Inu, Mavke Mamona, as I just said, they, in their courts, would go and use a single witness to go and take money from Reuven to Shimon, to Kufya Dalad Amud Aleph, where they do this apuma dechad with one witness when it's not allowed. However, below Amoran Elechad, I will betray low. But if there are two witnesses, so then in the Kusi courts, they would take the money away from Reuven and give it to Shimon. So too, in our courts, we would do that. So then you can go. Furthermore, the Chad Nami Lo Amoran, we said that one witness can't go, Elabedine the Magista. What is the Magista? So this is the word magista is b'nei kfar. Shein yodim lo d'bimishpo. They don't know the rules, and they'll take money with one witness. However, avobei davar, if you go to the real good courts, Rashi says the sultan courts, the supreme court, so then inu namichad amomwasa shadule. They too will only make, if it's one witness, a shvua. They don't go and take money, so therefore you could do that. Amar Rashi, Rashi the Maaseh Haya, Ki Avinu Mir Ravuna, when we were by Ravuna, Ibon Leyes, the following Shaila. Adam Choshev, a very important person, the Som Chayalei Kebetrei, he is so trusted, he is so Choshev, that he is believed like two witnesses. So, Mafke Mamona Apume, do we allow that person, because he says something happened, to go and take money based upon what witness? V'lo Ibon Leyes Lassudei, and therefore, such a person is not allowed to go, because in a Jewish court, no matter how trustworthy you are, we don't take money. But in their courts, the government courts, the good courts, the Beit Davar, they would trust somebody who's very, very trustworthy to take money. Or do we say, no. If he's a chashev person, there's no way he can get around testifying there, because they're going to find out where he is, because he's a chashev guy. And therefore, he's allowed to go to Chathchila, and the Gemara leaves it off with Teiku. We don't give us an answer. And this is a very good point for us to break. With this, we conclude today's shiur.